This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.
Show powered by Chevron. I am Brady Hull. We've got Michael Kirkpatrick, the 467th, on the other side of the bulletproof glass. We're gearing up for our very first Football Friday next week. We are not doing one. I know there's college football. There's Mountain West college football going on this weekend. Football Friday is about the six. It's about the Broncos, the Wyoming Cowboys, the Colorado State Rams, the Buffs, the Falcons, and the Bears. Got a great podcast today with Ed Lamb, Football 52. Got that recorded today. That was unique. They went on like a camping trip this weekend, and they like bring live animals up there. And they do them up. They take care of it, and then they eat them. I'm all for it. You're eating the meat anyway, right? They brought mutton up there. You think people have issues with that? There's a lot of kids on that roster. I mean, on any football roster. Do you think there's some parents that are like, ooh, we're not cool with that?
Well, they can be cool with it or not cool with it. Doesn't matter as long as the kids on the roster are.
If you're a football player, you're eating meat. So you're going to eat it somewhere. Might as well see how it works.
If you're not eating meat, you're not playing sports.
You're probably not, certainly not playing football. First Advantage text line is 888-530-0043. Lorado Whiskey poll question of the day is Major League Baseball. Rob Manfred was on the ESPN podcast of the Little League World Series talking about, or podcast, broadcast, about expansion in Major League Baseball. So I'm asking, is that a good idea? I mean, it would move the Rockies around. You know, it might put them in an interesting spot, a better spot for the future. I'm for it. It might shake things up. I've heard rumblings, though, and I don't like this. Well, I do like this, I should say, of not having, like, big divisions anymore. Or, like, the AL-NL kind of thing. Just one umbrella. Because I've always thought it was weird. Because they always had two different rules, and you pin it, you win that. I mean, the NFL does it too, but it doesn't feel as like AFC, NFC. It's not really like if the Broncos don't make the Super Bowl, I don't care necessarily if it's an AFC or an NFC team. So I don't know, but there's talks of potentially the Rockies going into what they would call the Midwest with the Cubs, the White Sox, the Astros, the Royals, Brewers, Cardinals, and Rangers. That would certainly be better than having to deal with the Padres and the Dodgers. It's 465 games every year. So, I don't know. Shake things up? I mean, to me, it's kind of refreshing because baseball has always been that sport that is last to the party with everything. They're not making big moves, but they've made big moves. The pitch count, or the pitch clock, excuse me. I thought that's been an amazing thing. And I think the idea of this and adding different teams, what did I see? Nashville's on there, Charlotte, Portland, Salt Lake City, Orlando. Yeah, more teams, more markets, I suppose. Let's see. First Advantage text line again, 888-530-0043. It's fun listening to you. And then Atlanta Radio, Buffs, and GT a week away. Tech seems ready, but they have a new defensive coordinator, so I'm not sure what could happen next week. I don't know how the Buffs are going to be, man. Listen, do we really know about any of these guys? I mean, this is going to be a very interesting year for all of the teams that we cover. And the Colorado Buffaloes, they're always in the news, and it's certainly a very popular team. First year without Shedeur Sanders and Travis Hunter, though, under the Coach Prime regime. I'll be interested to see how that one's going. Texter, Go Pokes, what is the Rockies' record down in Texas? Sure seems that that's where they're headed if they do, in fact, realign things. I don't know what off the top of my head, I don't know what the record is, but it would be nice to not have to face off against the Dodgers all the time. Because the Dodgers are not going away anytime soon. So I'm interested in this idea. It's not like I was pushing for it, but when Rob Manfred said it, it kind of just, it seems like they're trying to move the game forward, adding more markets, switch up the teams. You got to keep your traditional rivalries intact. But like for the Rockies, do they have a rival? I don't think the Rockies have a rival. You got to be competitive and winning and going to the playoffs more often than you're not, which they've only been to the playoffs 5 times in their existence. Bad franchises typically don't have rivals. Although Rockies White Sox be in the same division as the White Sox, it'd be all right. Who do you think's going to be better? You know, when we're talking about football, I think you wanted to ask this as a poll question. Who do you think's going to have the better record? Not excluding the Broncos, Cowboys, Falcons, Buffs, Rams, or Bears. I think it's an obvious answer for me. I think it's Air Force. I think Air Force is going to, I think they're going to bounce back in a big way. They ended the season strong. They didn't make a bowl, but they ended the season strong. Ended up winning 5 when I didn't think that was going to be possible for them. But they had so many guys, so many first-time starters last year. I think they only returned like 2 starters last year, specifically on that offense. So I think Air Force is going to be good. I think Colorado's sitting around a bowl. I think Colorado State's sitting around a bowl. Like, that's the ceiling. Wyoming, I think they're probably 5-6, maybe. And then the Bears, I don't know, man. I mean, I want to believe so hard. I love Ed Lamb. I love what he's doing. But, Michael, especially now in 2025, 10 years ago, if you don't have the resources, you're struggling. They just don't have the resources, man. And I don't. UNC is a good sports school. Just hasn't been for football since they switched to Division I FCS. You know, last year the big story was the quarterbacks couldn't stay healthy. That will be the story again if Peter Castelli can't stay healthy. I think he's a good quarterback. He played well against Colorado State. If you take that punt return, which why are you punting to Torrey Horton? You take that away, it's a 1-score game in the third quarter. I know, you can't take things away. I understand that. You play the game differently when score dictates how you play sometimes. But that was a 10-point game in the third quarter. They play him again. Week 2, they got Shadron State first. They should win that game. They should. And then that would tie Ed Lamb's win total for his time at UNC. I mean, it's a big year for the Bears. Their communications people, they've been really getting after it. They've got a new staff over there, and it is the best I've ever seen. I mean, so they're doing all the outside of the game stuff the right way, but at the end of the day, you got to win on the field if you want people to come to your games. I was out at practice on Friday, and there were a few people watching practice in the stands because they practice in the stadium. There were quite a few people. I mean, I don't know, maybe 7, 8, 9. That's more than I've ever seen when I've gone to practice. I typically see like a random dad off to the side watching practice. So there was more people there. Maybe they were all parents, but it's kind of what happens when you recruit locally. You know, 50-some Colorado guys. I mean, there's a lot. Well, just in the last 2 recruiting classes, there's been a lot. So I'm rooting hard, man, but I don't know.
Bizarro world.
Yeah.
UNC beats CSU.
Oh, boy. Jay Norvell, pack your bags. Yeah.
Is that is that basically it?
That's
the
it.
End.
Unless, like, you want to keep going in this bizarro world of yours, unless UNC turns out to be a good team. And then CSU, like, let's say it happens. Let's say the UNC Bears pull off the upset, and they beat the Colorado State Rams. Well, that's going to be hot seat territory. Everyone's going to want Jay Norvell out of town instantly. But what if the Bears go on to win a lot of games this year? They turn out to be really good. And then Colorado State, after maybe starting 0-2 in this bizarro world of yours, after the UNC game, they get it together and they go rattle off like 5-6 wins.
Hot seat, a lot cooler.
Yeah, but you, there's no way they fire him after week two, right? They're not going to fire him. I don't think so. But maybe. Like, if you lose to the Bears and you are like 1-4, let's say you're 0-4 before conference play, you won't fire him. But he's got to win out, basically.
But if you go 0-4 and you lose your first two, if you go 0-5 or 0-6,
then you might fire him in the middle of the season.
They're popping that corn out of there.
Yeah, he's gone. I don't think that's going to happen.
I don't think so either.
This is the thing, man. This is the most unprepared I've felt going into the football season. Like, Broncos, we get coverage for days. But Kevin Lytle is a great writer for the Rams, or for the Coloradoan, and covering the Rams. But even Kevin's like, he's seriously like, I could see anywhere from 5 to 9 wins. I love Kevin, but that's not like a strong prediction, is it? And that's not really a knock on him. This is the most difficult time to predict. Colorado State, that's a whole new defense. Offensively, two of their better players are gone. And I don't know. I'm usually pretty confident in the guys here. Like with Ed, I'm going to go over the depth chart with him next week before the ahead of the Chadron State game. But you just don't know until you see it out there on the field for the first time. Like, but even then, it doesn't tell the full story. Based on what we saw between with CSU and Texas and CU last year, I would have said the Rams are going to be lucky to win 4 or 5 games. And then they got hot. The schedule really helped them out. You know, they took on Air Force in a down year. Took on Wyoming in a down year. Didn't have to play Boise State. Didn't have to play UNLV. Fresno State had a coaching change right before the season started because of their past head coach's health. So they did take advantage of a bad schedule. It was kind of like, yeah, duh, you have to do it. But the expectations for CSU are not to win 6 or 7. They all said it last year. That's what they did last year to win 8 games is the floor for them. So, and you're going into the Pac-12. You're in all these lawsuits. You think you belong in a bigger conference. And the Pac-12 is yet to be seen what that conference is really going to be labeled as. And so you feel like you should be in the upper echelon, but you're not. If they were to make a cut today, and the thing we've talked about, basically an AFC and an NFC in college football, and then everyone else just creates their own thing. You have the CFP, and that's your SEC and Big Ten, and then they probably poach the popular schools from the Big 12 and ACC. CSU would not make that cut, I don't think, would they? I don't. I'm guessing Boise State would just because of success, but they don't have a big market. So CSU, yeah, you lose to UNC, Mike. It's you. Every game is must win for Jay Norvell at that point. If you lose to the Bears. And that's not a knock on the Bears. It's just, it's an FCS, traditionally bad team. Go to Canvas and then go over to Nottingham. One of these things is not like the other. I mean, the guys at halftime have to walk across the parking lot and go into Bank of Colorado Arena for their halftime. Like, it's a tough spot.
The optics of it are just atrocious.
Yeah. It's not good, and it's just, you don't have the donors, you don't have the money. I hope that changes, like I said, with the Bears. You're getting a better communication staff right now, and that's big. John Kitzman is the new like the assistant director of athletics or something like that, whatever his role is. He's great at it. That's changed. There is a different vibe for the Bears, but yeah, they're not expected to make it a game against Colorado State. I mean, your Huskies are you were shocked by this, only 20.5-point favorites. I know it seems like a lot, but it could be a 10-point game throughout, and then maybe Washington gets a turnover, gets a pick six or something, and gets closer to that 20 mark. I do think Air Force is going to be good just because that triple option that they have, they play a different style of football than everybody else, so the way you prepare for every other team is a completely different game than Air Force, so that's always going to give them a slight advantage against a lot of teams. But this year will be big for Air Force. And because I think, you know, Air Force, they can't bring the transfers in. They can't utilize the transfer portal. So will this year just look like last year? And then we basically go, well, yeah, that's probably going to be, it's probably going to be tough from now on for Air Force to put together a lot of winning seasons, which is tough to say because Troy Calhoun wins a lot of games. But it's a new world, man. And so teams that struggle with resources or can't use the transfer portal, that's going to hit them harder this year than ever before. So it's really hard to predict. I think it's going to be a very average football season around here for the college teams, for the local teams. I don't see anybody really, I other than Air Force, but again, there's still a question mark there. I think both teams are going to be, all five teams. But average would be amazing for the Bears. Average for CSU would mean you're looking for a new head coach. Average for Wyoming would be maybe better because you won, what, 3 games last year? CU average should be okay, but the expectations are very high around the Colorado Buffaloes. Although, Coach Prime, there's never going to be any pressure on him. I don't think. Although there were rumblings after the Nebraska game last year when they lost 28-10. It's like, if they come out and lose to CSU, then they're going to be wondering, is all this stuff around Coach Prime, all the money that they're putting in for him and the coaches, is all that worth it? But I mean, the fan base probably is going to give him a pass for a while.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I went to one of those CU games years ago, and it was not a full stadium. And it took the fans like to the third quarter to actually show up, but it was not a full stadium.
Yeah.
Now you're talking about
they're selling
seats
out.
Sold.
Yeah, they sell out all the time now. Coach Prime is must-see television.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just it's an amazing thing, really.
I watched a game on TV with like them and UMass or something. They were blowing out UMass. The stands were empty. There was no one there.
No.
But I think if you're playing a university of nobody, people are still going to come out because of the name.
Oh, yeah. Like Wyoming's playing CU this year, and Wyoming has a good turnout. Their fans show out. But nobody's going to be like, oh, it's just Wyoming. We don't care about that. They're going to sell that out. Go Poke says, Air Force has always dealt with recruiting issues. Really nothing new, is it? Well, yeah. I'm just saying the issues you've dealt with all the time are going to be magnified now in this new world of transfer portal and money being thrown around. CSU probably has, I mean, can Air Force even do NIL stuff? They can't do that, can they? Can do the military schools participate in NIL? Because CSU has, if they do, CSU has more. They have more resources. They don't have as many resources as the Power Four teams, but they have more resources than most of the teams equal or beneath them. That's why fans are so frustrated.
According to AI, which is taking from Forbes magazine,
yep.
the answer is no military academies.
Didn't think so.
Like West Point, which is Army, the Naval Academy, Navy, obviously, and do not participate with the NIL. I don't see anything about Air Force, but I imagine Air Force is the same way.
Yeah. Yeah. No, it's, I didn't think so. So, I mean, the things you've always dealt with and maybe even managed to win and work around those issues, it's not the same. It's not the same now. It's way more complicated.
It's because of federal laws.
Yeah, makes sense. Go Pokes, but do you realize how hard it is to get into the academy? It's not like many are looking to get out. Right, but you can't go pay a corner that just got in the transfer portal. You can't go say, hey, we got $1 million for you. Like, that is still, that's an issue, and it's only getting more complicated as we go.
Yeah, but you can fly a plane, though.
Yeah. Oh, no.
You fly a plane or fix
a plane.
It's
a heck of an opportunity. If you can get into Air Force, yes, it's amazing. Prestige for the rest of your life. It's awesome.
And isn't it cheaper?
I think so. I think so, but you got to get in. Like, you can't just be a random person and be like, oh, I'm going to go to Air Force. Yeah, it's all going to get more complicated. Sports, man. Just follow the money. Major League Baseball's talking about expansion. They want more money. They want more. I had a comment earlier on my poll question. This is just another way for Major League Baseball to make more money. Yes, obviously. You don't do anything without money being the top thing.
Where would they put that team?
It's a business.
Where would they put that team?
Well, I said it already. There's four or five teams. Nashville, Portland, Salt Lake City, Orlando, Charlotte's on there.
I wouldn't put one in Portland.
Why not?
It's not big enough, and it's just a trashy place.
Well, you have an NBA team. So
I mean, it's true, but like Oklahoma City has an NBA team.
Yeah?
They're a football state.
Portland could be fine. I think it'd be fine.
I think they're fine with college baseball.
Nashville would be good. Nashville would be a good one.
Yes, Nashville, I agree.
So, I mean, it's just fascinating to see how these leagues are evolving. I mean, you got the NBA every day talking about a different change that they're going to do. Not always for the better, by the way. But I applaud Major League Baseball. They do need to do something. The pitch clock has been a good addition. I think this would be okay. It's not the end of the world. The Rockies, specifically for Rockies fans, it's not like CSU and Wyoming. We don't want to be out of the same conference as our biggest rival. For the Rockies, the biggest rival is the state that they are in. Like, they are their own worst enemy. And he lost big time last night. 28 minutes after the hour, we'll take a short break here. What is Auburn doing? I didn't get to this story yesterday. I also didn't get to the MPJ story. I'm going to get to those today, I promise. Auburn, I hate this so much, but we'll talk about it coming up next. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. A Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Learn all about Platte Valley football tonight at 5 on KFKA. Presented by Kelsey Peters State Farm Insurance.
There's only one feeling, like lighting that open sign for the first time. Like deciding whether or not to frame that first dollar. Like knowing every customer by name when they walk through the door. Whether you're starting from scratch or from a century of tradition. Every business deserves a bank that's been growing communities for generations. Bank of Colorado. There's only one. Member FDIC.
It's Jerry Schimmel, the voice of the Colorado Rockies and formerly voice of the UNC Bears, and you're listening to The Whole Show.
Mosquito Joe of NoCo. They were the number one Mosquito Joe franchise, the one right here in Northern Colorado. They're now offering rodenticide. It's a free rodent services, so you don't have to stress about what your kid or dogs are getting into and still keep the rodents away. Go to noco.mosquitojoe.com. Yeah, thanks for that, Big Hub. A little breaking news here. Out of Augusta, Georgia, ECHL approves expansion membership. See, it's expansion's all over the place. That's what the Eagles used to be in. The Colorado Eagles used to be in the ECHL before they jumped to the AHL to be a direct farm team or whatever you call it for the Colorado Avalanche. So the league's 32nd member is set to begin play in 27-28. The team, which will be named later, will be owned by... Little drum roll, Mike. Little drum roll. Oh, you don't have a drum roll. Do a drum roll. Okay, man. We don't have money, do we? Tim Tebow. 2007 Heisman Trophy winner Tim Tebow is going to be an owner along with David Hodges. So cool. Kind of a cool story for Tebes.
I like what he's doing. They're really great at the end of the game, but they're going to turn the puck over quite a bit.
Yeah. Probably. Kind of how Tebow
was. Tebow playing football.
I get it. I like what Tebow's doing in his side business, like his main business, you know, with what he's doing and along with his faith and helping people. It's amazing. Some of his stories are truly inspirational. I think he's great on the college football stuff. Good for him. Good for him. What?
Oh, I was just saying to myself, he was great in college football.
He was great in college football, and he's great talking about college football. I like Tebow, man. I do. I like Tebow. It's just his fans were annoying to me.
Yeah.
Made me root against him in a weird way. Not really, because I'm rooting for the Broncos, but I was so tired of the fan base that surrounded him. It's a lot like the Coach Prime and the Shedeur Sanders stuff. Like, yeah. I would root for them harder if it wasn't for their fans. Because you can be critical. It's just when the fans come at you, then it's like, golly, you guys are annoying.
Yeah, a lot of times fans kind of, they don't realize that they make it harder for a player to get to another team, because does that team want the circus to go with the fans?
Yeah. So, hey, what do you think of this Auburn thing? Auburn is now claiming shared championships, I guess, or whatever, you know, how they used to do it before we had the playoffs, before we had the actual game for a national champion is voted on and different votes. There's coaches poll, AP poll, all that stuff. Well, Auburn is now announcing that they are going to claim the 1913, 1983, and 1993 seasons as meeting national championship qualifications.
Then Washington gets their 1990.
This is so dumb. So dumb.
Yeah, it is. It's dumb.
1990? Wasn't that the year CU split it with Georgia Tech?
It might have been 1991.
Maybe. So is CU going to come out now and claim 1990? Like, what? You just claim it? Like UCF did? I think that is the stupidest thing ever. I get it. College football, even now, there's never been a 100% right way to name a champ or to name the playoff teams. We just argue about it. We don't have the debate anymore. But now we debate who should be in the playoffs and all that. It's not cut and dry like the pros do it. Or, you know, even March Madness, people debate their team should have been in. Big Hub says, I talked to an Auburn fan who said, who cares? We weren't born. Right. Like, who cares? What does this do for you? I mean, young recruits going to look at that and go, oh, 1913, you won a championship. Wow.
It was prestige.
I get it. And it's great. It's better to have multiple championships and no matter how far back you go, because then you can say we're a historic college and all that. But if you have to claim it, if you have to make, like, the athletic director, John Cohen, said, for too long, Auburn has chosen a humble approach to our program's storied history, choosing to recognize only Associated Press national championships. So now they're going to recognize these. Effective immediately, Auburn will now claim the 1910, 1914, 1958, and 2004 season. Those were the ones. Sorry. The ones I listed before were the ones that were already acknowledged. I don't care. 1910, 1914, 1958, and 2004 seasons as national championship ones.
Yeah, they saw Alabama do that a few years ago.
Alabama did it.
And they're like, yeah, okay, we'll do it.
Why? If you weren't named the national champion, and you had a share of it or whatever, then that's just what it is.
Just call yourself national champions, not the national champions. And it, you're right, it was 1991 Washington Huskies got three polls, got three national champions, according to three different polls, and Miami just got the AP. So screw Miami.
So
we're the national champions.
So CU should have one.
Yeah, the AP poll doesn't count.
Is it whoever claims it first then? So if it's a shared champion, like if CU claims it before, wasn't it Georgia Tech?
Yeah, it was Georgia Tech. They got the coaches. And CU, they got the AP and the FWAA, whatever that is.
Yeah, that was so dumb. Like, adding the college football playoffs was the biggest no-brainer in sports. I wasn't into college football as much growing up. I hated how they determined who was the champ, and you can share the championship, and there's multiple votes, and they're not actually playing each other for that championship. Or in some cases, they do play each other in the regular season, and that still doesn't matter. It's insane. But I found this article from Yahoo Sports basically saying, yeah, well, it's fine. This is justified. Let me find it. It's Jay Busby of Yahoo Sports. Auburn can justify the new rings on two fronts. First, because pre-21st century college football was a chaotic nest of competing rankings and ad hoc justifications. And second, because Alabama already went there. I don't like it. I think it's weird. I mean, it sucks if you're a fan base and you're kind of like, man, that we should have won that year. That should have been us. And now you're claiming it. Does it really matter? I don't think it matters at all. When UCF did it, when they went undefeated and they claimed that they were the national champs, even though they didn't play in the game, maybe they did get screwed over. But it is what it is. You sign up for it.
They beat the national champions that year. And so they're like, well, yeah, we beat them, so we're the national champions.
Yeah, this is such a great text here from Aaron. If the CFP wants to find a true format for their playoff, they need to look at the real college football playoffs in the FCS. It's right in front of them, and they still can't see it. The FCS has it. It's like the NFL model.
Yeah, the FCS, I love it. And I loved the bowl games as a kid. Like when you had like five channels.
I hate that.
And every channel had one of them except for the one channel that would show the Rose Parade all day. But the FCS just does it perfectly.
Yes.
It really does.
Because this is what needs to happen. This is what should happen if you want to find the true champ. You would have blowouts, but this is what you should do. Every conference has a rep. Yes. The Mountain West, whoever wins the Mountain West is in the playoffs. You have like five or six at-larges too, so you have plenty of SEC and Big Ten schools get in. Make this thing big. If you really wanted to, get away from that. And then you would win your conference first. You can't even win your own conference. Okay, that ends that debate. The way that you set up to win the conference is great. You play your season, you make it to a championship game, and if you win, you are the champ. There's no debate. If CSU would have got in over Boise State, and then they go represent, and they knocked out Boise State, they should have been a playoff team over Boise State. That's how I feel. If you win your championship, even if their record was great, whatever.
Yeah, but there are a lot of times where you're going to have like four schools
I know.
In one conference that are better than one school
yep.
in the other conference.
I know.
And
but
those four schools are getting screwed.
Well, they get the at-large. They get an at-large. There's going to be room in my world for at-large. It's complicated.
At-large.
No, like five or six at-larges.
Yeah, so like the Ohio State and Washington will get in, but Michigan gets hosed because the University of automatically got in because of their crappy conference.
Well, I mean, some of these teams could have competed.
We made it. We made it because we worked really hard.
We won your conference. You don't think like an Army team could ever do something if they come out of the American conference?
This isn't the 1950s.
You don't think Army could compete? They were a pretty good team
last
year.
Not anymore.
You don't think...
Are they allowed to have guns?
No.
Then no.
I mean, like a Conference USA team would be bad. But I'm just saying that would be the only way to keep the... Because, like, if Boise State goes undefeated and they don't get in, then they're going to go, we're claiming the national championship. I don't know. I actually, to be really honest, I like where it is. I'd be good adding a few more teams, but I like what they're doing. I'm satisfied with a seat at the table. At least one outside of the Power Four conference gets in. I'm satisfied with that. So I like the way that they're headed. It's just crazy. Like Aaron points out, it's crazy it's taken this long to figure that out. I mean, it started with a four-team playoff. That was dumb.
It's crazy that it's taken so long to figure out the NIL, and they still haven't figured it out.
No, because they pushed it away.
You have a bunch of dumb people running this whole thing.
Dude, you don't have a person that's like running this thing. 44 minutes after the hour. Let's take a quick break here. What did MPJ say that's got people kind of, you know, riled up a little bit? Let's get to that. First, let's jump out and get the latest on the local sports flash.
This is Steve Fairchild at FairchildQBTraining.com, and you are listening to The Hulse Show on 1310 KFKA.
I always, when you talk about testing these girls,
yeah.
A couple things I do to test a girl early.
There you go.
Is, well, you got to do your research first. If she's ever been with somebody that I know or I'm cool with, I'm not about to ever wife
100%.
You. Just because, like, I'm not trying to be on the court and I give you a bucket or something, and then you're over here talking about, that's why I hit your girl. Like, think about that.
That's
so there was one girl I really liked one time, actually, but she had used to talk to a dude in the league, and I was like, I just can't do it, because if I'm cooking him or whatever, and then he's just allowed to say, that's why I hit your girl.
And if the right thing to do is go directly to that person and just be like, yo, what's the situation with this person?
But bro, that's like,
and then they'll be like, oh,
that's like fighting words.
That's why I hit your girl in the middle of the game, bro. That's wild, bro.
That's gonna be a bet.
That's one thing I do, and then the other thing I do is like I need to see a little bit about their like beliefs. So I'll I'm not saying I'm a misogynist or anything, but I'll throw on some, see how they react.
Yeah,
or I'll like.
I'll
bring up like conversations and play like devil's advocate.
Just so for some reason they bleeped out who the podcast he's putting on, because this guy has been removed from a lot of social media stuff. Andrew Tate is who he said he will have her listen to see kind of what her beliefs are. Andrew Tate is an American and British social media personality, businessman, and he was a performer, professional kickboxer. But he had a lot of very confrontational positions that people, and I haven't heard his stuff, but that say he's kind of misogynistic.
I know enough about him that I would not listen to his podcast ever.
So MPJ says, I need to see a little bit about their beliefs. I'm not saying I'm a misogynistic or a misogynist or anything, but I'll throw on some Andrew Tate and see how they react. I don't know how you take that. Is he trying to see if they don't like it, and then that means you're good, or if they do like it, that means you're good? Dude, he's talking a lot, and I don't know. It's just strange. Like, he's on whatever this podcast is with those two dudes that interrupt him every 5 seconds. It's just a weird look, man. And then for him to throw out Andrew Tate's name, which is cut out from that podcast, we're not going to cut it out of here. It's part of the story, but that's how controversial that guy is. They cut his name. Whoever produced that clip, they cut his name out of that.
Yeah, he's not a good dude. If you look him up, he's not a good dude. If you watch his podcast and you like him, I question you.
According to Wikipedia, he calls himself a misogynist. He's been dubbed the king of toxic masculinity, and he's actually called himself misogynist. So that's one way to go, MPJ. Haven't heard this kind of stuff from him. There was one thing he said like during COVID, remember? Kind of got him in trouble. We'll get to that. We'll get to that on the other side. MPJ, making some noise on the podcast world. It's the whole show powered by Chevron. We'll be right back.
Is this the year the UNC Bears turn it around? Find the Football 52 podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or 1310kfka.com.
Hi, this is Earl Boykins, former Denver Nugget, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310kfka.
Yeah, I'm glad you found that. Jack Black singing a little Britney Spears right there, Mike.
I found it a while back. You put it in your bumper list.
I love it. It's a great song.
It's all right.
I wish you would have given us more time. We could have played some of it. Back in 2020, during COVID, Michael Porter Jr. also said this. Personally, I think that the coronavirus is being used, obviously, for a bigger agenda. It's being used for population control in just terms of being able to control the masses of people. I'm not going to get into that. I don't love how things were necessarily handled during the corona days, coronavirus days, the COVID days. But that guy, Michael Malone, spoke out on that one. So that's not the first time MPJ spoke out. Maybe that was the last time for him with the Nuggets. After that comment, they're like, dude, maybe less is more for you. Now that he's with Brooklyn, he says whatever the hell he wants. Top stories of the day coming up next. We'll be right back.
This KFK podcast is presented by Bank of Colorado. There's only one Greeley, one team like the UNC Bears, and one bank who cheers as loud as you do. Bank of Colorado, proud partner of UNC Athletics, member FDIC.